Amen. Amen. What an amazing song that captures the glory of God. The essence of God is that He loves us in spite of ourselves. He loves us in spite of our mistakes, in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of the misunderstandings that we have about what we're supposed to be and who we're supposed to be. That is an amazing song that captures His consistent love for us. Thank God for another day to be in His house. Another day. We could be in a much worse situation than where we are right now in the house of God. And there are many of us today that would love to be at church, but because of circumstances beyond your control, you're not able to be here. And so today, our prayers go out to those brothers and sisters in Christ who can't make it to church, but their hearts and their minds are drawn to Him. And for that, we're so grateful today. If you will, go with me in your Bibles to Psalms 23. We will be in a very popular passage of Scripture today. And God will bless us with a different look at this particular book. And it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Dear Father, we come to You today and we just thank You. We thank You, Father God, for blessing us today to see Your grace, Your mercy, and Your faithfulness. Now, Lord, today as we are entering into Your presence and in this place that is a comfort to us, we're asking that You, by Your Spirit, speak to our hearts and our minds. Father, I ask that You help me to deliver the word to Your people the way You gave it to me. And I thank You for that in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I'd like to speak on the topic, look past your now, focus on your next. Look past your now and focus on your next. As we look at Psalms 23, we will find out that when we really look at this particular scripture and we really consider it, looking at every part of it, that this particular psalm covers just about every portion, every part of the Christian walk. It deals with restoration and guidance. It deals with comfort and provision. It deals with enablement and reward. In this particular book, we're seeing that David, as he is writing this particular psalm, he is sharing with everyone that would come after him that God, in every part of his life and in every circumstance of his life, is dealing with and addressing and more than capable of giving him an answer and a resolution and a conclusion to whatever he's going through. Today, we are no different. When we are living the lives that God has blessed us to live, we are looking to Him, our shepherd, for the answer. Our good shepherd, in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ, is an example to us that we are able to just live our lives and trust in Him. You know, as you think about the role of shepherd and sheep for a moment, I want you to consider that when you're thinking about sheep, sheep have a natural inbred desire to follow the shepherd. A natural desire. Now, we know and we see in Scripture that God from time to time has to deal with the shepherd of the flocks that he has placed over his people, over his lambs. And we'll know and we'll see that there are times when a shepherd is leading the sheep astray. But guess what? The sheep follow. You know, even in real life and in real circumstances, those sheep will follow that shepherd wherever he goes. If a shepherd leads them to a place that there is no food, the sheep are hungry. If he leads them to a place where there is no water, the sheep have nothing to drink. But their innate desire is to follow the shepherd. God has built this into their psyche where they just want to be wherever the shepherd is, where they associate safety and security with the shepherd. And so it was no mistake that when God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit were talking amongst themselves and communing amongst themselves and saying, there has to be a remedy to the fall of man. There has to be something that can be done to rectify the wrong of them sinning and going against instruction. There has to be something that can be done to make this right. And God, knowing that he has made man with the nature of lambs. Now, we do understand that God in Scripture, he gave the illustration of lambs and goats, because we know that that sin nature, absent redemption, absent the blood, a covenant of Jesus Christ, will continue to have a nature that is against God. However, in this conversation amongst the Trinity, a resolution is come to, a resolution is brought to the table that Jesus Christ should come and be the shepherd. And that because Jesus Christ comes and is the shepherd, he has the characteristics that God is needing in place for someone that will lead the people back to him. Creation was about God and man fellowship. That's what creation was about. Creation was not something that God did just for the sake of doing something. Creation was about God putting in place a fellowship, a relationship with his creation. And so the Son came. And David in Psalms 23 is talking about the nature and the character of God long before Jesus Christ came on the scene. We have the benefit of both David's record and Jesus Christ, his death, his life, his redemption. And so now as we look at this particular passage of Scripture, we see that we have a good shepherd. We have a shepherd that we're able to follow regardless of where life places us. And even though we can look at our lives from time to time and it seems like we are in places where we never wish that we were at, if we trust in this good shepherd, if we believe in the righteousness of his character, then we believe that we can actually look past what we're in now and focus on where he wants to take us. See, that's where the lambs, that's what they do. They could be in a place that is uncomfortable, whether it is in a mountainous area and the shepherd is leading them through a place that they really don't want to go. But they're not focusing on the fact that it's difficult for them there now. They're focusing instead on the fact that I have a shepherd that is going to take me somewhere else. And my God, that's what Jesus does for us. Sometimes Jesus has to speak to our spirit and he has to encourage us to let us know, continue with what you're doing. Continue doing the things that I have commanded you to do in the scripture and the things that I have commanded you to do in our time together, our fellowship together, because things are going to get better. Things are going to get better. And even as you look at what you're going through, God, through his word today, is saying, focus on the next. Focus on the next. And so there are a couple of principles that we have here in scripture that I just want to share with you. The first principle is that the shepherd eliminates lack. He eliminates lack. As we look at this first verse, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I shall not want. And so when we accept the fact that there are principles in this scripture that we are to adopt and that we are to believe and that we are to accept and that we are to live by, then we're going to accept the fact that God eliminates lack. He eliminates that by looking at our circumstances and looking at what we're going through. And he reminds us that if we're sad, sadness only lasts for one night in God's eyes. Now, I don't know about you, but I have been in times of my life where I was incredibly sad. Incredibly sad due to my circumstances, due to my situation. But the shepherd, being my guide, reminded me that the weeping that I was experiencing, that the sadness that I was experiencing, for him, it's only one night. For us, it seems extended. But anyone that would be dealing with sadness right now, disappointment right now, despair right now, even loneliness right now, for your shepherd, it's only for a night. And so our job as Christians is to look past the now, to look past the things that we're going through and look and focus on the next. Sometimes within scripture, it's almost like a call and a response. You know, I grew up where call and response meant that something, and I remember as a child, you're looking at the book, and all I can think of is the preacher saying something, and the whole church is saying something. And I remember thinking, but I'm too little to read. I can't do anything other than just mumble what I think they're saying. And, you know, we do that sometimes. It's called call and response. God says to us, I'm your shepherd. And he's waiting to hear something from us. He says, I am your shepherd. And he listens. And sometimes we as Christians, we are like children. We look at him and he just gets silence from us. Why? Because we don't know what to say back to him. But David, in this scripture, has given us a call and response that we are able to walk in. So when God says to us, Jesus says to us, I am your shepherd, what we're to say to him is, I shall not want. And so today, the thing that I would like to do is to have a response, a congregational participation just on this one note. If Christ is your shepherd, then our response is, I shall not want. I shall not have need that the shepherd cannot provide. Amen? And so now, as we continue to consider the fact that he eliminates want, he eliminates need, then suddenly we realize that our worrying about things, how we're going to pay bills, how we are going to deal with anything going on in our family, how we're going to deal with the loss of our job, we suddenly develop a different mindset. We suddenly develop a mindset that says, I got somebody else that can worry about that stuff. And his name is Jesus Christ. Why should I be afraid? Why should I wring my hands and worry when I got a Savior that has already paid the price? Why should I wring my hands and worry when I've already got a Savior that is in front of me and all I have to do is follow? We don't have to get to a place where we have to understand everything. We ought to get to a place where we believe everything that He has said to us. Amen? And so now we look in verse 2 and we see this word leadeth. It says, He leadeth me beside the still waters. That word leadeth is a Hebrew word, nahal. It means to protect, lead, guide, feed, and carry. Nahal, to protect, to lead, to guide, to feed, and to carry. So what he's basically saying is, because I'm your shepherd, I'm going to protect you, lead you, guide you, feed you, and when necessary, carry you. But what you won't do is call me your shepherd, confess that I am your shepherd, and then not allow me to do what I was sent to do. He was sent to protect us, sometimes from ourselves. By a show of hands, I know I'm not the only one. Has there ever been a time where you were your own worst enemy? You were your own worst enemy. God told you that everything was going to be all right. But you told you, I don't know how I'm going to make it. God told you that He already had people that were going to support you with whatever you were going through. You told you, I don't have two friends that I can call on right now. God told you that He was going to give you another job. You told you, I'm probably going to be in the poorhouse tomorrow. That's what we do. And so in Him protecting us as shepherds, sometimes He has to protect us from ourselves. Sometimes He has to remind us that we're supposed to be out of the way because He's the shepherd. Amen? He has to lead us and He has to guide us. He has to remind us that there is no limit in Him. Sometimes we can limit Almighty God, not in reality, but in this mind of ours. This mind of ours, our understanding, our intellect is limited. Scripture says that it is to Him laughable. When God considers it, it's humorous to Him. Because His ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And so He has to remind us that He is here to lead us, to guide us, to feed us, and when necessary, to carry us. Amen? Second principle that I'd like to share with you from this passage of Scripture is that He's also with you in the valley. And the valley prepares you for something better. He's with you in the valley. And it's the valley that is preparing you for something better. See, when you think about the valley is the lowest place of any area worldwide. If you're in the valley, you're in the lowest place. There are some valleys in the world that when you're in them, it's almost completely dark at certain times of the day. And it's not until you get out of the valley that you look around and you realize, oh, my Lord, there's a lot of sunlight going on around here. But the valley's so deep often that the clouds are covering the sun. But guess what? If He's our shepherd and we're following Him, and we're trusting in Him, He's still with us in the valley. Amen? And so now we see in verse 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. And so this moment where you find yourself in the valley is a time when you aren't really hearing Him at all. Have you ever been at a point where you prayed to God all night about something and you didn't hear a thing. You didn't hear him encouraging you that you belong to him. You didn't hear him encouraging you that everything was going to be okay. And yet, Scripture says his rod and his staff comfort us. So the rod and the staff that we are seeing within Scripture is his authority. See, a rod and a staff is authority. When Moses held the staff of God, it was the authority of God personified. When the staff was raised, it was the authority of God personified. And God used the staff to exhibit his authority and his power. So in our valleys, in our darkest places, we're not so much looking to hear from God sometimes. Sometimes we have to look to see him move. We look to see him move. It's in the valley where we begin to become quiet. Why? Because we're looking for him to move. We're looking for him in the valley to prepare us for what? Our next. And it is often going through the valley that takes us to the place where we have to go in him. Remember, the shepherd, his role, his job is to lead the sheep where he can lead them, guide them, feed them, and if necessary, carry them to the place that they should go. Amen. When you're in your valley, sometimes the mountains are so high that you can't see where to go. Have you ever been in your life going through something where what you dealt with was a mountain? What you experienced was a mountain. It is not always your own doing that gets you there. Sometimes it's beyond your control. It could be your health, and you've done everything that you can do, and yet now you're dealing with an issue in your body that is beyond your control. It's a mountain. But the shepherd is there with you. The shepherd is the one that brought you to the place where you are, and he continues to walk with you. So what do we do in the valley? We look for the power of God. We look for the authority of God. We look for the rod and the staff that comforts us. But guess what? If you know anything about a shepherd, you know that the rod and the staff protects us as well. Because when you think about sheep, wolves will attack more often at night than during the day. We've seen all these wonderful movies that show wolves attacking during the day and taking down animals during the day. But the majority of the attacks occur at night. The majority of them. And we got a shepherd that uses the rod and staff to comfort us, to remind us, okay, continue to walk this way. But the comfort in knowing that his power is there is that that same power works on our behalf and beats down the enemy. It beats down Satan at the point where you can't see anything other than the power of God. Amen. And so now we're understanding from this scripture that we are in the valley of the shadow of death. The rod and the staff is comforting us. But suddenly in verse 5, we're seeing that a table is being prepared in the presence of our enemy. Wait a minute. I was in the valley, dark in the valley, shadow of death in the valley. Where did these enemies come from? And how is it that a table is being prepared in the presence of my enemy? Except for the fact that when you're at your lowest, when you have done everything that you can do and you have no strength to get out of it, there is always going to be someone there that is going to see you at your worst. It's the enemy, not just Satan, sometimes people. Sometimes people see us at our worst. And guess what? In the valley of the shadow of death, where the rod and the staff are comforting, the staff and the rod are protecting, he at the same time is preparing a table in the presence of our enemies, meaning he's going to allow them to see us come out. He's going to allow everyone that has ever seen you fail to see God's authority and his power work in your life. He's going to allow everyone that has ever seen you make a mistake see that God is a redeeming God, that Jesus is a Savior and he is a Redeemer, and he is able to take us out of the miry clay and to set us on a rock. He prepares a table in the presence of our enemies, meaning you saw me at my worst, but the authority of the rod and the staff was still there. And he redeemed me and he brought me from where I was to where he wanted me to be all along. And if I had always been on the mountain and never been in the valley, I wouldn't know about the redeeming blood of Christ Jesus. If I was always on the mountain and everything always went well and everything always lined up and I always had all the answers, I would never know about how my Savior can bring me through the valley. Amen. And so now he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And at this same time, he anoints my head with oil. In Scripture, anointing or your head being anointed means that there is a new assignment. There is a new task that God has placed on you. In Scripture, God chose who he wanted to choose. It didn't matter if you were somewhere crushing grain. It didn't matter if you were taking care of your father's flocks. It doesn't matter. He calls whom he wants to call. He assigns whom he wants to assign. He gives tasks and responsibility to whom he wants to give task and responsibility to. And in Scripture, the anointing oil says that there is a new thing that God wants to do in you. He is taking you from your current present state, and he is wanting you to focus on a new assignment. And so don't be surprised when your life has taken you into a valley and suddenly it is to reveal the authority and power of God and he puts a new assignment in your life. Don't be surprised when in this low place where he teaches you about his word, where he teaches you about his faithfulness, where he teaches you about his love, that it is real, that suddenly you realize God has more ministry in you. God is at a place where he is reminding you that you are not alone. He reminds you that you will have a family, that you will have children, that you will have a job again, that you will get well again. He reminds you that you will be happy again. Hallelujah. Because he not only prepares the table for us in the presence of our enemy, he anoints our head with oil, meaning enough of that. Let's go on to something greater. Let's go on to something more in me. Let me show people that have been watching you that I had so much greatness in you. And this valley, this situation, the now that you see was nothing more than a pathway to focus on your next. In Philippians 3:14, it says, press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Meaning it ain't always easy. Living for God is not always easy. I wish that I could get up here and tell you that it's easy to keep our mouth shut when people are saying things that we know are not true about us. It's not always easy to forgive people that offend. It is not always easy to have our lives go in line with the word. It takes work. It takes sacrifice. It takes commitment. And it takes a press. Amen. But the calling says focus on the next.
His desire to have a closer walk with you. You know, the song says, just a closer walk with thee. Just a closer walk with thee. When we come out of the valley, all we think of is just a closer walk with thee. Why? Because he has taught us that if we follow him, everything is going to be all right. 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so he has prepared a table in the presence of our enemies. He has anointed our heads with oil to the point that our cup runs over. Meaning, go back. He said, I shall not want. He put me through all of this to establish the fact you will not want. You may go through things. You may go through situations. But the reality is, even in what seems like lack, you have more than enough of me. And so we see him come back in verse 5. And David says, my cup runneth over. So the me that you saw before I had to rest in green pastures, before I was led by still waters, before I went into valley of shadow of death, before he was able to comfort me with rod and staff, is one that says, I shall not want. But the me after that says, my cup runneth over. In other words, I have more experience about his goodness. I have more trust after the process. I have more understanding of my Father after the process. I have more understanding about authority and power after this process that he has placed me through. And my cup runneth over. Verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And from that, we get the revelation that David wanted for us. And the revelation is that the end goal is that he being our shepherd through this process of Psalms 23 and our own Psalm 23 in each of our lives has taught us to have the character of sheep so that we can eventually have the character of the shepherd. Because it says in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. So now I'm a shepherd. Now I have the character of Christ Jesus, the good shepherd. And he assigns goodness and mercy and says, now that I've placed them in this place where I've taken them through everything, you follow them around. Goodness, don't let them get away from you. And goodness begins to follow us just like a lamb. Mercy begins to follow us just like a lamb. Plenty begins to follow us just like a lamb. God has brought us through this entire situation, this entire process, to put the nature and the character of the shepherd in us. And now the greatness of God and the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the faithfulness of God won't leave us alone. It won't leave us alone because we look like the shepherd. Because we walk like the shepherd, because we go the places that the shepherd has taught us to go, and we avoid the places that the shepherd never led us to. It's getting in trouble and him getting us out that teaches us how not to do it anymore. Amen.